This is the Gambling Gauchos.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in to the People's Post game, sponsored by our friends over at Barnett, Howard, and Williams Law Firm. Based in Fort Worth, they handle cases all across the state of Texas. BHWLawFirm.com. Holding court with us here after a huge top 10 win by the Texas Tech Red Raiders at the hands of the Texas Longhorns, sixth-ranked Texas Longhorns. Third Big 12 win. February is here. The run is coming. Interesting outcome. BHWLawFirm.com. Appreciate them for holding court with us here in the People's Post game all season. Things are trending up, I would say. Rob, I just sent you the co-host request. As always, we'll get to as many comments, questions, accusations, confessions as we can. So if you've got something you want us to discuss, feel free to request to speak in the queue, and we'll get to as many well-behaved listeners as we can. Rob Dog, Hot Rod, how you doing?
Let's go. Man, at no point did I feel safe in that second half. No point, 0 point, until about the six point lead at the end.
Yeah, this is weird to say on like the last play of the game when we just kind of threw the ball down the court and the announcer was like, and that'll do it. I like didn't even realize that the clock. I was like just kind of waiting for, I don't know what, the game to just keep going somehow. You were confident coming in. Texas Tech, obviously the winner, also covers, of course, because they were an underdog. What gave you so much confidence, and did it more or less kind of unfold how you thought it might?
Yeah, I have no idea why I was so confident. I guess, you know, you had the 12-point lead in Austin, and I thought you had some matchups that worked against Texas, but yeah, I mean, you got a lead and you kept it, and that's the difference in the last couple of weeks. I mean, you had a lead against Kansas State and you just kept it. And then you got a lead against Iowa State after a 23-point comeback and kept it. This team is just kind of figuring out how to win. Was it 2 weeks too late? Yeah, probably. But it does feel good to at least get a couple wins here at the end.
Man, you can walk me off the ledge here if you want. But I'm starting to believe a little bit. You know me. I love the quad one wins. We love quad one. Everybody knows what a quad one win is. I'm trying to think if there's a scenario where you can still get into the NCAA tournament.
Win the conference tournament.
It's not going to be pretty. But do you remember Michigan getting in last year as an at-large and they were like 16 and 15?
Yeah, does the Texas Tech name hold enough weight? Does the Big 12 hold enough weight for you to – now, if you win seven conference games and you finish on a six-game win streak, those things are not crazy to say, but this is the first time you've won back-to-back games in conference. So I don't know that we need to get crazy tonight. I mean, can't we just celebrate the Super Bowl?
Well, we can, yeah. Look, back-to-back Super Bowls on back-to-back days, it's good to be a Texas Tech fan. But I'm starting to look at it through the lens of you might have one of the weirdest NCAA tournament resumes ever, and I'm just not sure how the committee is going to weigh it. Now, it's going to take more than three wins. Like, I'm talking if you get to six or seven, how are they going to view that? And I do want to talk about this game, but I was looking at Lenardi's last four in, and maybe you saw me tweet this. His last four in right now, Texas A&M, New Mexico, Kentucky, North Carolina. In descending order, they have New Mexico has three quad one wins, A&M has two, Kentucky has one, North Carolina has zero. You now have three. And here's where I'm not sure how the committee is going to weight your resume. You have 10 quad one losses, and we don't believe in quality losses, but is New Mexico going 3-3 or A&M going 2-4? Is that better than you going like 5-12 or whatever it winds up being in quad one games? I don't know, because I think you're going to have more quad one wins than some teams that get an at-large bid, but you're also going to have like 3 or 4 times as many quad one losses as those teams. But anyway, for the first time all season, I've allowed myself to dare to dream a little bit, and I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
Yeah, and I think you also, you know, you need at least 6 conference games wins in season, and then 2 in the conference championship. I don't know, but it doesn't seem crazy to say that this team should be a tournament team. It might seem crazy to say that this team will be a tournament team, but like we've said for weeks, or at least I've said for weeks, Kyle, you've been in and out of this, but this team is good enough to be in the tournament. It's just they're not good enough to win a bunch of Big 12 games, or haven't been.
Yeah, and I've made this point after every win, you know, all 3 of them. But it's like, what if you could have just held on to 2 of those other ones? It still wouldn't be pretty. You'd be, what, 5-8 instead of 3-10 in those quad one games. But you'd be almost, I don't want to say a shoe-in, but you'd be firmly in the bubble conversation rather than this, like, 1% probability path that we're trying to navigate here. So I don't want to dwell on that either, because this isn't the occasion for that. You just beat a really good Texas team that, you know, you've now altered the Big 12 championship race by beating Texas, Kansas State, and Iowa State, 3 teams that were contending for that. It's the kind of loss that has hurt Texas Tech in those years where they were really good. And, you know, you're trying to get to 13 or 14 conference wins to have a shot to win it all. And then you, like, lose to the 8th best team in the conference. But the conference is so deep that you're susceptible to that. I feel like that's kind of your role this year. And so, I don't know, maybe Kansas, Baylor, TCU get through unscathed versus Texas Tech, and that winds up being the difference. We'll see. But really good Texas team. Again, they're ranked 6th in the country. They're going to have legit, you know, Elite Eight, Final Four type aspirations. Feel like you had them in Austin a few weeks ago and let it slip away. And so it was good to get one back in front of the home crowd.
Yeah, and Baylor, I think, is the team that should be sending Texas Tech some flowers after the last week of play. Mr. Root, what's up, man?
How about them Raiders?
How about them?
How about them Raiders? I just...
How about them? You keep muting yourself there, Alex.
Did we lose him?
God damn it. Can you hear me now?
Folks, yeah.
Yeah, you're back.
Folks, more yes, like Mr. No. More like Mr. Mute.
Oh, damn.
We can hear you cussing.
We can hear you, Alex.
Oh. Okay. I just want to say I'm still baffled by how Brock Cunningham continues to get significant minutes on a top 15 basketball team. He's a total bum, and he just pisses everybody off. So that's all that I wanted to say.
Yeah, and how does he shoot 50% from 3, 46% on the season, and then miss a bunny in crunch time?
Because he's a bum. That's why.
I think it might have been partially blocked.
Oh, was it?
Either that or...
No, I think it's just that he's a bad basketball player, Kyle.
I was trying to give him a little bit of an out there. I thought it might have been blocked, but maybe he really thinks he's me out there trying to finish a layup. I kind of thought it was deja vu all over again. Because that second half in stretches was like Marcus Carr going off, Brock Cunningham attempting 3s, and I was like, if he makes one of these to cut this to like a 1-point game or something, I'll be in absolute shambles. But it thankfully went your way this time. Davion Harmon has played incredibly the last couple weeks. I mean, even in some of those losing efforts. And we got on him for it earlier in the season for, you know, like just kind of not really running an offense, just like dribble, 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 and then drive. And I guess it's working better now than it did before. Like, I don't really know if we've changed scheme all that much, but he's just playing out of his mind lately, keeping you in games. And like that first half is not what it is without him. It's a totally different story. And so you needed somebody to step up. I mean, this team was like a rudderless ship at times with no identity, nobody kind of taking charge. And it seems like he's really taken that upon himself the last couple of weeks. And I think that's why you've been able to finally notch a few of these.
Yeah, we were begging for somebody to be a leader on this team, and Davion Harmon has certainly done that. And the spacing has been night and day for Texas Tech in stretches, because you still had that Baylor game where you struggled in the second half with the spacing. But when Davion Harmon is on, it's because the spacing of the team is much, much better.
Indeed. Had a thought and I lost it because I was checking Twitter. Happens to the worst of us. Anyway, maybe it'll come back to me, maybe not.
You want to take one comment here from Texas Tech Championships?
Sure.
Is he connects? All right, what's up, man?
So I listen to y'all's podcast. I really like it. And you guys had an interesting question you proposed. Is Tyrese Hunter going to have his first ever good game versus Tech? And I think the answer was no.
Yeah, would he have even a 9?
Yeah, like 9-2-1. I mean, it's better than he's ever done against us before.
Good point. It's his best he's ever done versus us, so we have to give him that.
Yeah. I think Mainville had the stats after the game in Austin of his, like, career spread versus Tech. Now that he's 5 games in, I would love – because, I mean, at this point, it's a pretty decent sample size. It's not like him having an off night or two.
It's definitely a thing, and it's definitely probably in his head at this point.
Well, hey, I hope we get him in the Big 12 tournament, because that'd be another chance to notch a quality win, and you could count on him hopefully probably not doing very much.
And last question for you guys, what do you expect our net will be updated to?
Shoot, what was it going into tonight? I haven't really 70. Followed that very closely.
UT was 6. We were 70. I feel like if we can get in the 40s, we're going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
One game at a time, man.
Yeah.
Hey, we got three top 15 spread wins in a row. Come on, let's go.
That's true.
We're talking tourney, Rob.
At home.
Let us dream.
And Scott Van Pelt was hyping us for the tourney right after this game.
Let's go.
Hey, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying there's still some road to be hoed here.
Hey, do we have anybody with, like, tons of drip in the spaces that wants to chime in on this? Like, how many wins do we need to get into the NCAA tournament? I feel like one of our usual listeners might know, and I don't know if he's in here or not, but Steven Stevens is in the house. What do you got for us, Steven Stevens?
I think he's still connecting.
Oh, well, I'll do another Barnett, Howard, and Williams ad read then. BHWLawFirm.com. The Red Raiders won on the court tonight. If you want to win in court, hopefully you never have to, but should you find yourself in such a position, call our friends over at Barnett, Howard, and Williams, BHWLawFirm.com, exclusive sponsors of the People's Post Game. Steven Stevens? Oh, he's gone. He's gone entirely now.
He gone.
Hopefully he can get his internet connection restored, perhaps.
He's off taking shots with some
Steven Stevens, are you with us?
Are you alive, Steven Stevens?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, the net only went up 64 with that win, believe it or not. I mean, the KenPom.
It's already updated.
KenPom, sorry.
Oh, the KenPom.
Yeah. Those can sometimes diverge. So I don't know if net will update until tomorrow morning, but interesting to start following. They've piqued my curiosity, at least, Rob. Like I said, before tonight, it was like not even on the table for me. But I think you could also get into this discussion. Last year, I think Texas Tech lost this argument. When I was trying to convince people that we had the resume of a 2 seed, I was like looking at the very top line of the resume saying, we have 5 better wins than anybody else's 5 best wins in the country. But of course, they take the full 30-game sample size. But of those bubble teams, like, you've now got to win over 3 top 15, top 20 type teams. Those are good quad one wins, not like beating net 75 on the road or something. Like, these are elite teams, and I don't know how much that's going to potentially factor in for you. Maybe it won't at all. Maybe this is a ridiculous discussion, but I don't know. These aren't, like, no offense to anybody else, these aren't wins against Oklahoma State or West Virginia or something. These are like top line of the resume type wins. So I think that's pretty cool.
I still think you need to win out to really be in a position to be in the tournament. And I hope that happens. And I really enjoy, making comebacks and beating Kansas State and Texas at home. And I'm not taking anything away from that. I just still cautious here.
Okay, how about this, Rob? You got 2 more home games. TCU and Oklahoma State.
Both winnable.
Winnable.
Oklahoma and Norman.
Can you get 1 on the road in Morgantown, Norman, or Lawrence?
Norman, yes.
That only gets you to 6-12. And against all my better judgment, I would say that is not enough. But
what about 2 wins in the Big 12 tournament?
Yeah, that's where you start going, okay, well, this team has an insanely unique resume. They have 25 quad one losses, but that's because every single game in their conference is a quad one game. And they have 3 times as many quad one wins as these other teams on the bubble. So I just don't know how the committee's going to value that. I was shocked last year when Michigan got in, and I would need to look at what their resume was exactly. I'm not sure if that's a good comp or not. I think it might be, but I don't know. I'm allowing myself to at least wonder what could happen here down the stretch.
I think it also matters what West Virginia does down the stretch, what TCU does down the stretch, what Oklahoma State does down the stretch, because there's going to be a finite number of teams from the Big 12 that make it. So you might have to steal a Big 12 bid by beating a couple of these teams down the stretch, namely Oklahoma and West Virginia. And then Oklahoma State late.
What else you got, Rob?
Do you want to talk about the game, the end game a little bit? Davion Harmon, a huge first half. I still think there's...
Rob? Did anybody else lose Rob, or is that just me?
Yeah, he's gone. I can't hear him.
Rob, you're muted now. We lost Hot Rod. No bueno. Serge Ibaka is in the house. He wants to speak. I'm sure that's definitely the real Serge Ibaka. Probably going to pass on that one. Sorry, Serge. I have no clue what Rob wanted to say. He was talking about Davion Harmon a little bit. 9 of 17 tonight, 3 for 4 from the outside, including a bank shot that he definitely called. The bank was open all night tonight in Lubbock. There was he hit one. I think O'Banner hit one. There might have been another off the glass that didn't look like it was intentional. Fardaz Amak, pretty good game. 12 points, 8 rebounds. Had a really good pass to O'Banner down the stretch there, and the alley-oop to, I don't remember if it was O'Banner or Tyson, but I think his conditioning is probably still not quite where it needs to be, but I think he is coming along and adds an element to this offense that you know, it at least makes like a marginal difference. Rob, are you back with us?
Man, I had some really good points before I cut out there, but I don't know if anybody heard them.
We missed them all. We missed all the good points.
I don't know what I was saying anymore. I was going to talk about AMAC, basically what you just said. You have to be able to find him down low better, more. A couple of times you really found him in the paint, in momentum. O'Banner, really good game. David Harmon, obviously great in the
Did we lose Rob again? Give me like a 100 emoji in the audience there if Rob is gone. Well, now he dropped off. So, in the meantime, Andy, KU fan, it looks like. You have any thoughts for us on the People's Post game?
Yeah. I mean, great win for you guys tonight. I am really, really glad that Kansas had you guys down in Lubbock early in the season, because I do not want to play down there right now if I'm anybody in the Big 12. To what you guys were talking about earlier about Texas Tech potentially making it to the NCAA tournament, I mean, I think it's going to take – you can't afford a loss to Oklahoma, even down in Norman. You probably need to get West Virginia and Oklahoma State. But I think you can lose that game to Kansas and be in good shape. You can get those home wins. You probably could lose either West Virginia – like, you could lose one of those road games, but you have to have one of – like, you either have to win against West Virginia in Morgantown or beat Kansas and Lawrence, which is definitely doable right now. Kansas has been up and down all over the place. So, I've been enjoying the Big 12 this year. I am really, really looking forward to the Big 12 tournament.
And if you could do us a solid and tell Kansas to let us win the game, that would be great.
No, because I think they're going to need it for potential one seed. So, you know, plus we don't want Texas winning the conference, right?
We don't, but you're still in the tournament, so you're fine.
Well,
you
fair.
Can win the national title as a two seed. We just need to get in at this point. So if you could really do us a solid.
Well, I will use all the play that I don't have with the team to make sure that they know you guys really need to win. So. No. Look, I'm over on the 10-12 podcast. I really enjoy talking about everything Big 12. So I'm really happy to see the way that all of this race has really, you know, kind of tightened up, and we're going to have another just fantastic finish to a conference season. There is absolutely no way that anybody can argue anything other than the Big 12 is by far the best conference in all of college basketball.
Oh, for sure. And we always appreciate the perspective of other fan bases in these formats. So appreciate you chiming in. And yeah, that game against Kansas really early in Lubbock is one of those we look back on and think, you know, man, how much that would pad your resume had you been able to hang on. I think that was a 2-point loss, if I recall correctly. Anyway, Texas Tech has had their fair share of those getaway. Rob, are we giving up tonight, or what's the deal?
I've got worse connection than Brock Cunningham.
Hey-o.
I'm not going to try to go through what I was going through again, but we can just move on. I'll get my.
I think you were saying something.
Bazinga.
You were saying something about Davion Harmon, and so I read his box score and then AMAX. I haven't looked at the box score too much, but I think. Oh, see, Lamar Washington only played 9 minutes.
Yeah, and he didn't really earn the time on the floor late.
Yeah, DeMarvin Williams hit a big three. He was out there for 23 minutes, only took three shots. But his three was kind of when you were going, like, back and forth. And that has not been this team's MO to, like, get into shootouts with anybody. But it seemed like for the most part, when Texas was kind of going on their runs, that you were able to match well enough, obviously, to get the win. I'm thinking of the sequence at the end of the first half when you went 6-for-6 down the stretch. And then, yeah, there's a couple moments in the second half where, you know, Carl was just kind of battling back. They would hit a three, and then you would come down on the other end and score to kind of fend off any kind of run. So, I don't know. I think if you guys maybe weren't loud on the box score but had a couple moments that helped you keep the Longhorns at arm's length and ultimately grab the dub.
Yeah. One other thing, just not a negative, but Jalen Tyson had a couple of really good plays early in the second half on offense If he can unlock his passing ability, I think Texas Tech will be even that much better down the stretch. He really struggles at times with entry passing and getting the ball around the horn.
What'd you think about Elijah Fisher tonight?
I said in the Discord he had some shades of Micah Peavy with his post game. The one spin move in the paint in particular, we saw a lot of that from Micah Peavy early in his career before he left. His game never really got to the next level, but I really liked Elijah Fisher. And I have been saying on defense, he is kind of a spark. And in my opinion, is the reason we've been playing so much better on defense in Texas Tech's world, because he provides some length and some consistency on the perimeter defensively that you desperately needed.
Anything else on Texas, or do you want to look ahead just a little bit?
Yeah, let's look ahead.
So West Virginia has to be the team with the greatest disparity between how much they're loved by these computer models and the actual outcome on the floor. They've been like in the 20s in net and KenPom all season, and they're 15-11, you're 14-12. So like not a marked difference, and yeah, there's differences in strength of schedule and everything. If I quizzed you right now, if I was asking you to pinpoint what their win probability is in Morgantown per ESPN's BPI, what percentage chance do you think BPI would give the Mountaineers to win the game?
In Morgantown against Texas Tech? 75%.
It's 81.7%.
Yeah.
Which is going to translate to a spread of, what do you think? Maybe
8?
Yeah, I was going to say 7.
I mean, 11 a.m. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So let's call it 7.5, since we're both expert odds makers. Let's call it 7.5. How are you leaning if the line is sort of in that ballpark?
I mean, we kept saying at home, you know, prove it to me. We'll start believing when you prove it to me. And they've done that at home in the last three games. They have a winning streak of three games at home. I'm still in prove it mode on the road. You've yet to finish a game on the road.
Yeah, and West Virginia, they have had a couple home losses this season, but clearly better at home than on the road, obviously. I think it's going to be a tough – it's always a tough trip just because of distance. And then they've got a pretty good home court advantage. They're probably the better team at a neutral site as well. So I don't know. I'll be curious if the odds makers stray from the analytics models on this one, because again, they just seem to love West Virginia. And so whatever BPI or Haslam or KenPom have this pegged at, I'll be curious if the odds makers swing by a noticeable amount one way or the other. Do you remember, Rob, a few episodes ago? I wish I could remember exactly when we recorded this episode, but we were taking stock of the Big 12 title race, and we asked each other, like, who would you buy, who would you sell at this juncture? Do you remember what we said?
No, I think I probably bought Texas, though.
I bought Baylor, and you want to know what they've done since then?
Have they gone undefeated?
Just about. They lost in Austin on January 30th. I can't remember if this episode was before or after that. But besides that, in February, they beat Texas Tech by 27. They beat Oklahoma by 10. They beat TCU and Fort Worth by 4. And they beat West Virginia by 12. And they're ranked number 9. Now, tough stretch coming up. They go to Lawrence, to Manhattan. Then they host Texas back on the road in Stillwater. It's a brutal four-game stretch, as every four-game stretch in this conference is, but this one especially so. If they can get out of there 2-2, they would be, let's see here, they'd be 11-6 in conference play. So there's three teams right now tied at the top, at least in the loss column. Texas 9-4, Baylor 9-4, Kansas 8-4. And then K-State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, all 7-5. TCU's kind of fallen off the pace a little bit at 6-6. So I don't know how this is going to shape up. Obviously, the game in Lawrence, huge for Big 12 title considerations, especially if Baylor is able to win at the Fog. I think it's sort of expected in these calculations that Kansas would win that game. But if Baylor wins in Lawrence, man, they're sitting pretty. So anyway, I think it was really hard to tell early in the season when there were clearly like six really legit teams in this conference who was going to be an actual title contender. Maybe now we have some clarity. It's not a shot at K-State or Iowa State. I just don't know if they have the same kind of juice that those top three teams do. And so Texas, Baylor, and Kansas were, you know, about two-thirds of the way through here. And it's more or less kind of tied going into the final home stretch. And so I think it's going to be a very compelling Big 12 title race over the next couple weeks.
If you go, let's see, you have three wins in conference play. If you finish with three more and get to 6-12 and get iced out of the NCAA tournament, are you excited by the thought of an NIT berth, or do you just want to pack it in and go to next year?
Man, so personally, no. The NIT does nothing to move the needle for me. I also kind of worry about the perception if Texas Tech declines that.
Right.
I feel like the national response or regional response within the Big 12 is like, oh, Texas Tech is too good for the NIT, and I don't really want to deal with that storyline either. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. If we're in the NIT, I'm not going to like – I mean, I'm going to watch those games, obviously. Anytime Tech is playing, I'll watch. But am I going to be doing, like, hardcore analysis and, like, scouting and super emotionally invested in it? No. I mean, it's just – like, you win the NIT and then what?
Well, let me say the one reason I'm moderately wanting to at least be in the NIT – it keeps this team together for longer. And I just think maybe if you can like get a real good run going and win four or five down the stretch and get in a good position and be in the NIT and even win the NIT and just be together for another month, maybe things turn around inside the program and you're like, all right, maybe we can win together and everyone stays and it's just a hunky-dory ending and not a upheaval like some have hinted at.
Yeah, I think that's probably more what I would find solace in is just if you go 6-12 and miss the NCAA tournament, I could at least say, you know, very sincerely, okay, like the first half of the Big 12 slate was terrible, but after that you really got it together, you figured some stuff out. Maybe that was coaching adjustments, maybe that was personnel adjustments. And it would give me more optimism going into next season and thinking like, okay, you know, maybe you can get your main core of guys back, add a couple pieces in the portal and be a more competitive team next season. Whereas if you were to finish 3-15, 4-14 in conference play, it just kind of leaves you with very little, reason for legitimate hope going forward without major changes. And so even though 6-12 is nothing to write home about, it kind of gives you a little bit more optimism long term than how we sort of thought the season was trending when you were 0-9 in Big 12 play. So I would be more excited for that aspect than the prospect of the NIT. No offense to the NIT.
Well, certainly. Certainly.
Am I making this up? I know Texas won the NIT under Shaka.
Yes.
Did TCU win the NIT a few years ago?
You are correct.
So the Big 12 just runs the NIT. Like, so we're like a 6-bid, 7-bid league, and then 8th place in the Big 12 is number one in the NIT, I guess. Is that like a tradition?
I guess so. I'm looking at the champions here. TCU won in 2017.
Okay, a little further back than I remember.
Xavier, Memphis, Texas in 2019. And then was that TCU in 2017?
Was 2017 TCU, is that Brodzianski?
Ooh, that sounds familiar. Kenrich Williams was the MVP.
I remember going down to Fort Worth. I think that was Beard's first year. And Brodzianski was just giving you fits all night. I was like, dang, he's a dude. I think that was about 2017.
One other Big 12 team has won in 2013.
2013. Wouldn't have been Iowa State or West Virginia.
No.
Wouldn't have been Baylor. They were a tournament team. Did Kansas State or Oklahoma State win?
No, it was Baylor.
Oh, okay. I thought they were an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, back in 2013. Pierre Jackson was the MVP.
Okay. Maybe that was a little bit before they really got it humming under Scott Drew. Okay. Any final thoughts, Rob?
No. The Big 12 team before that was Nebraska in 1996. That was the last year of the Southwest, so never mind.
Yeah, that was Big 8. Big 8, Nebraska.
Big 8, Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah, Big 12 play started in late August of 1996.
Yeah.
Zebby Lethridge and Texas Tech at Kansas State in Manhattan. Very first Big 12 athletic competition, I believe.
I believe.
All righty. Hey, good 24 hours to be a Red Raider. You said it, man. Back-to-back Super Bowl championships, one with the Chiefs, and now we beat Texas, which is, of course, our Super Bowl. Hey, okay, I've got a question for you, Rob, like an either-or. I don't have three options, so we can't start bench cuts, so this is just an either-or. Would you rather pack the arena, total sellout for Texas, and then point to that as evidence that they're your Super Bowl? Or would you rather leave the upper deck empty and have Cyclone Larry chirp at you for not even selling out against Texas?
Hey, we'll do it on the scoreboard, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just win the games.
All right. You're not worried about fan banter on Twitter?
No, I'm not worried about Cyclone Larry. I heard some Longhorns were throwing hands with Longhorns after the game, though.
Oh. Longhorns fans or, like, dudes wearing the jersey?
Should have been fans against fans in the concourse.
Wow. I wonder if they'll go full Aggie and
– Oh, they were throwing punches.
Blame it on
– Throwing punches at Tech fans.
Oh, I thought you said Texas on Texas violence.
I thought it was, but I'm getting the whole story here.
Oh, okay. We're still collecting the evidence.
Yeah.
See, if I was them, I would – if it was Texas on Texas violence, I would just claim that the students tore down the rim, like the entire basket, and they were charging the Texas fan section with it. And so we started fighting each other because I don't really remember what Aggie's full story was on that, but it didn't make sense. But anyway, they were fighting each other and didn't realize that until later after they had blamed Texas Tech fans for starting the fracas.
Hey, I've got a numbers tweet for you from Andrew Sorrells. Are you familiar?
Yes.
Legendary Andrew Sorrells. The number of days since Texas Tech has lost to UT and Lubbock in each of these sports. Football, 870 days. A baseball series, 1,429 days. Men's basketball, 1,080 days. Women's basketball, 369 days.
You know what he could have done to juice that just a little bit more?
Yeah.
He could have said the last time Texas won in regulation in Lubbock, because that football win in 2020.
Yeah, it was overtime.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's a good enough tweet as it is. I'm not trying to be too constructively critical here.
You know, that's why people call you the Kyle Umlang of Texas Tech Twitter there, pal.
I think only one person calls me that, and his feedback is
unwarranted.
Well, yeah, we'll thank you everybody for joining the People's Post game, sponsored by our friends at Barnett Howard and Williams Law Firm, bhwlawfirm.com. You know, Rob, the resiliency displayed by this Texas Tech basketball team is matched only by the resilience of Barnett Howard and Williams, because they were on some People's Post games, man, when it was like, okay, we're 0-7, we're 0-8, we're 0-9, and they stuck with it, and now we're Super Bowl champs. And we either lost Rob or he just thought that was the stupidest
I'm letting it marinate, man.
We're just letting it marinate. All right. Well, I've got an early morning. So I'm going to – what that means is I'm going to hang up here and then tweet for the next couple hours. Yeah. So we'll see you all on the other side.
Hey, one thing. If you have a SiriusXM, the Big 12 this morning, tomorrow at 9:30, I'll be talking about the win.
Uh-oh. Is that with our boy Robbie?
No, it's with R.E. Timken.
Oh, okay. I need to get acquainted with R.E., I guess.
Yeah, well, I'll send him to you next time.
No, that's okay. You're the professional. I'm just the Twitter guy.
Yeah, well.
Or actually, you send all the tweets from the Gauchos account, don't
you? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. Thanks for sticking with us, y'all. We'll see you Wednesday. We're doing a preview of baseball season with our good friend and the often referenced Keith Patrick of Red Raider Dugout. And then we'll be back Sunday night live stream on YouTube. So we'll see y'all then. Thanks for hanging out with us. Love y'all. You can say it, Rob. Never mind. He's gone. All right. Peace.